Okay, now it's working. Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. Welcome back in person. Welcome back on Zoom. I hope everybody is well. We are learning, as always, the Zeichen Nishmasan, the Lui Nishmasan, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, Mein Neshama, merit a continuous aliyah in the Zchus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening, as well as the Zechira Latova. And we continue to thank the Frun family for their sponsorship of these Divrei Torah, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaHasham. So I really thought that food, I just finished mentioning your mother, Zechira and Aliyah Neshama, the Tova. I really thought we were finished with food, but we have Rivka Krisher to blame, so don't shoot the messenger. Okay? It's amazing. So she shared an amazing source with me a couple of days ago, the beginning of the week, Sunday. Did you see this article? And in fact, I had not seen the article, so I printed it up and you could say I have notes. And it's really cool. First of all, not only is it amazing and all new chedushim, for me at least, and apparently for you as well, Rivka, but as well, it really ties together so much of what we spoke about. Because remember a few weeks ago, we learned that amazing Or HaChaim about Adam HaRishon, when he says, Ha'isha in Asher Nasati Medihi Nesnali Mina Eitz Va'ochal, and the Or HaChaim says, I remember I was teaching over Zoom, we were away for a few days, so it was right at the end of January, because I just remember where I was, maybe two or three weeks ago. So the Or HaChaim says something really fundamentally eye-opening, a huge chedush. Adam wasn't saying I did. He wasn't denying anything. He's saying, I don't know. Whatever she gave me, that's what I ate. So like she gave me supper and I ate it. He wasn't trying to be a kafui tov. He was stating a fact. The woman that you gave me, he nesna. You remember the Rechaim says, is the man obligated to check everything that the wife puts before him? Is he going to say, what's the ashkacha? What supermarket? Where did you buy it? So unlike the classic interpretation, as quoted by Rashi, that he was denying the good and he was saying it's Isha's fault and no, God, it's your fault because you gave her to me. Bar Chaim says he was just saying, I really don't know what I ate. That is not definitely not the pshat of the psukim, but it's really interesting. So we just spoke about that a number of weeks ago, and we've been talking about mindfulness in eating, and the Mechaber speaking about the inner ratzon and the outer ratzon, and before you eat, you should say, I know my neshama really doesn't want this, but my guf does want it, so at least, like Sarah and Shani both explained, it's not giving you diet advice or health advice, it's saying the reality is you're probably going to eat it. So while you're going to eat it, at least be mindful and recognize your ratzon. So a few days ago, Rivka sent me this picture, and I printed it up, actually, to be honest, I think my husband printed it up, and it's really interesting. Okay, it's called Tu Bishvat, the Yom Tov of Adam HaRishon. Okay, so I know we're past Tu Bishvat. In fact, this week is Shabbos Varachim Chodesh Adar, but this is really cool. I never heard these ma'isim before. So here we go. It's a little blurry, but Baruch, not because my glasses are blurry, like a printed blurry. Okay, here we go. Tu Bishvat is the Rosh Hashanah, the new year for trees. So we know that Tu Bishvat, the Mishnah says, Arba Rosh Hashanah Heim, there are four Rosh Hashanah. There's Rosh Hashanah for kings, there's Rosh Hashanah for the world, there's a Rosh Hashanah La Ilan, and the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilan, Rosh Hashanah for the trees, Tu Bishvat. Today it has much agricultural significance and Kabbalistic significance. Ha'adam eats a sada from Devarim Perachav, man is a tree of the field. But it really has major halachic significance because in Eretz Yisrael especially, you have to know the age of the tree for tithing. What year of Maaser are we in? You have to know the age of the tree for Arla. You have to know when it reaches 3 years, when it reaches 4 years, what year in for Maaser. So besides for all of the Kabbalistic, hashkafic, and environmental aspects that have taken on that Tu Bishvat has taken on in more recent times, it's really very important halachically. Now we're so far from our land and we're not farmers, but it's very important for farmers to know when the Rosh Hashanah for the trees is, and that's how they mark how old their tree is. And so you can't just go over to a tree and eat it. It doesn't work like that. You can't just take an apple or an orange or one of the Shivat HaMinim off of the tree and eat it. You have to know all the trees. Okay, so Tu Bishvat is Rosh Hashanah, the new year for the fruit trees. It is the fiscal year cutoff date on which farmers would calculate the tithing, the maaser, for their trees. Okay, to mark that day, however, the Magen Avram states, it is customary in Ashkenazic lands for people to increase their consumption of fruits on Tu Bishvat. So that's the Magen Avram to the Or HaChaim. It is customary in Ashkenazic lands for people to increase their consumption of fruits on Tu Bishvat. So there's Minhag Avoseinu Bi'adeinu. That's a strong minhag. Today, especially for us who live in Chutzarts, and we're not farmers, and most of us don't own trees, so we eat fruits to celebrate or to commemorate the Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. Some even prepare a Seder plate. A number of years ago, this is very interesting, In January 2014, my husband and I were zocha to be by the Tu B'Shvat Seder at the Knesset. It was the first ever, I know, we don't have such connections, but my father happened to be invited. We were going to Eretz Yisrael for the first time in 13 years, and we were sitting in the airport, and my father forwarded us an email saying he was invited to the Tu B'Shvat Seder at the Knesset. He can't go, but he replied saying, my kids are actually on their way to Eretz Yisrael, could they come instead of me? So we had to send our passport information for background check, and when we landed, we saw that we had clearance. It was really unbelievable. They had a whole Seder. A Rabbanit, a Rabbitson from Renana, just reached out to me 2 days before Tu B'Shvat this year. She said, I was listening to your shir on Wayu Torah at the Seder, about your shir at the Seder, the Tu B'Shvat Seder. The Knesset used to have the Haggadah. Could you share with me? I'd like to tell some of it over at our Tu B'Shvat Seder this year in Renana, Israel. So I was able to share with her. I knew where it was, Baruch Hashem. Some even prepare a Seder plate of many different fruits of Eretz Yisrael. But other than not reciting Tachanun and eating some fruit, what else do we do to commemorate this special day? Okay, now it gets clearer. The top was a little blurry, now it gets clearer. The Magli Tzedek writes that Tu B'Shvat is the Yom Tov, the holiday of Adam HaRishon. Tu B'Shvat's the Yom Tov of Adam HaRishon. After eating from the Eitz Hada'as, the tree of knowledge, so we know what happened. Hashem said, Mikol Etzagon Ochel Tochal, we learned the Arachayim, we learned the Mashach Chochma, Mikol Etzagon Ochel Tochal, you could eat from all the trees of the garden. However, Mipri Ha'itz Asher B'Soch HaGan, Lo Sochu Mimenu, or from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, don't eat, Ki B'Yam Echalcha Mimenu, most to most. Because the day you eat it, you will become mortal, and that's what they eat from. So after Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge of good and bad, Hashem told Adam, Arur ha'adama ba'avurech. The ground is now cursed because of you. Thorns and thistles, it will sprout. So Adam, as part of his curse, is told the ground will be cursed because of you. As winter progressed, Adam, this is from the Magali Tzedek, Adam saw the leaves falling off the trees, the grass drying up. And he realized that the curse was being fulfilled. Maybe the ground is cursed forever because of me. Maybe all those beautiful trees are going to shrivel up and die and will never have fruit to eat. But when the 15th of Shvat arrived, and the trees, when was Adam created? Rosh Hashanah. So now we go through the first process of winter, and he sees everything is dying. But when the 15th of Shvat arrived, the trees began to bud and blossom once again. Adam realized his fear was unfounded, and he declared a yontif. So the only thing I found interesting about this is that we know seasons, I have a question I don't really have an answer to, seasons came into effect. Correct.
I also thought about that.
Oh, very nice. You also thought about it. Okay. So my only caution with this is, as winter progressed, Adam saw the leaves falling off the trees, the grass drying up, the 15th of Shvat, which represents the beginning of spring in Eretz Yisrael, so you also thought the same thing. Okay, so my only caution is that after the flood, that's when Hashem said there will now be seasons. I'm not sure, but he's quoting from the Magali Tzedek. So maybe it wasn't like winter like we understand winter, and spring like we understand spring. Maybe there was some process where as they journeyed forward, and this is the first year that ever existed in the world, the trees went through this process of shriveling up and dying. And then when the 15th of Shvat came, even if I'm sure they didn't call it winter, there was no Choref. Hashem introduces that after the flood, but at that point everything was sprouting again, and Adam realized things were blossoming, and he declared it a Yom Tov. Looking deeper, Adam's celebration of Tu B'Shvat was more than merely a party. I did say last week, Bli Neder, we're finished about food. I said it, Bli Neder. He was correcting the sin from eating from the tree of knowledge. So Tu B'Shvat is a day to be misaken in eating the fruit of the Shivat HaMinim, and eating the fruit and appreciating the produce of the land. We are able to be misaken eating from the tree of knowledge, which the first sin was eating inappropriately. Now it's top of the next column. It's blurry again.
Okay. So that's also been interesting because isn't...
Wait, I have to put on my glasses to see so I could hear, yeah?
It's also interesting because isn't... Tu B'Shvat
a time to daven for the Esrog on Sukkot. Aren't there opinions that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog? Yes.
So then I guess that also, like...
Yeah, so...
That, like, we're
just,
continuing with the other mitzvahs.
There are those who daven for an Esrog on Tu B'Shvat, and there are opinions that say that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog, so you're saying it's another form of tikkun. Tu B'Shvat's tefillah for an Esrog, for the mitzvah, is a tikkun for Adam's
like
eating from the Esrog.
Proper use of that tree is now for mitzvah.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Proper use of the tree. Very nice. When Hashem confronted Adam, listen to this. Big Chiddush. shows you how every word in the Chumash, I stress this all the time, is so important and tells a whole lesson. And I never thought of this. When Hashem confronted Adam after he ate from the tree, Adam responded, Vayomer ha'Adam, ha'isha asher nasata imadi, hi nasna li mina eitz. What's the next word? Va'ochal. The woman that you gave me, she gave me from the tree. What does va'ochal mean?
Current.
Oh, what did he just say? Current?
Current.
Oh. So we translate into English, which is why when the Chachamim translated Torah into Greek, which was the beginning of translating into other languages, it was a day of mourning and fasting. Because the Torah can never be translated into another Lashon other than Lashon HaKodesh. You lose the entire meaning. It's translated as English, the woman gave me from the fruit of the tree and I ate. But really, he doesn't say v'achalti. He says v'achal. Ha'isha asher nasnali, ha'isha asher nasanli, ha'isha asher nasata imadi, hi nasnali min eitz v'achal. Present tense. He's actually saying, she gave me from the tree and I am eating. Now, no one translates it like that, but it's not v'achalti, and I ate, I am eating. So look at this. Now we have a whole other meaning. What is Adam possibly saying? The woman who you gave me, she gave me from the tree, and I eat. That's actually the proper translation of the phrase. The Medrash Bereishis Rabbah notes that Adam uses the present tense, and I eat, as opposed to the past tense, and I was eating, or and I ate, implying that Adam intended to continue to eat from the forbidden tree. So the Medrash is the one that points out that the phrase, and I am eating, in the Lashon Hova, right now, present tense, as opposed to saying, and I ate. How could Adam have had such a rebellious intention? How could he use such provocative language when speaking directly to the Creator? God said, don't eat. Now you eat. God comes to the garden and says, did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from? Not only does Adam say, she gave it to me and I ate in the past, what is he saying? I'm eating right now. You came to find me, and I'm eating the esrog. Some say it was wheat. Some say Rashi says in Chumash it was a fig. Esrog, I'm eating it right now. What's going on here? Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, the great defender of the Jews, has a beautiful answer. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev explains as follows. When a Jew eats, he can fix, he can be misaking the sin of Adam HaRishon, who ate from the tree of knowledge. Every time a Jew eats, he has the capability to fix the sin, to be misaking the first sin of Adam HaRishon. How? By doing mitzvos through eating. And this is so much of what we've been speaking about, especially last week. We spoke so much about how a different perspective, forget the Yetzer Hara for a minute, forget the inner ruts and the outer ruts, and one way that we help each other is by doing mitzvos through eating, such as making a bracha before and after eating, by properly slaughtering an animal and salting the meat, kashering, separating challah, truma, meiser, eating matzah, and through the myriad other mitzvahs involved in the preparation of eating food. In this week's parsha, we're told, lo sevasha gadi b'chelev imo. You may not cook a kid, gadi b'chelev imo, in the milk of its mother. Three times we're told that in the Torah, we can't cook milk and meat, we can't eat milk and meat, and we can't have hanah. So you can't sell cheeseburgers. It could be kosher burger and kosher cheese. Can't sell that because you're benefiting from it. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev explains that when a person eats through proper eating and elevating his food through the mitzvos involved with the halachos of food, he can be misaking the first sin of Adam HaRishon. Now we understand what Adam HaRishon meant. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev continues, what Adam HaRishon meant when he said to Hashem, and I eat, I am going to continue to eat. Adam meant he would fix his sin of eating from the tree of knowledge by performing mitzvahs through eating food. So my continuation of I will eat, not, in other words, not from that tree. I will continue to eat through my life, and through eating properly, I will do mitzvahs, I will be misaken, and I will elevate myself and the food through eating. So every time we eat properly, whether it's making a bracha, whether making sure the food is kosher, first of all, And making a bracha, and when preparing it properly, and if you have a kitchen shayla, you ask the kitchen shayla, not mixing milk and meat, making the proper bracha achrona as well, knowing which comes first from the Shivat HaMinim, knowing if you have fruits of Shivat HaMinim and an orange, what do you make on first? Every time we eat properly, we are being misalkein the sin. And that's why Adam says, v'ochal, I'm eating, and I eat, to indicate that all future doors of mankind, and specifically Am Yisrael, will continue to eat, and we will elevate our food and be misalkein the first sin. This is fascinating. It's fascinating. Thank you, Rivka. It's amazing. We can perform a tikkun, a fix for Adam HaRishon, by eating via three different methods. And it's so interesting because we spoke about a lot of these methods. So this article really sums everything up. One, being cognizant. We spoke so much about mindfulness in eating. Being cognizant of and performing mitzvos related to food. Reciting the blessings before and after we eat, but not just saying them by rote. Being cognizant of what you're saying. Sometimes you make a bracha with kavana, and sometimes you finish a bracha and say, did I just make a bracha? Having the proper kavana when you make a bracha. Going back to the top of the third column. It's blurry, the top paragraphs. Here we go. So one is by being cognizant and making our brachas with kavana. Think, mindfulness, not just in eating, in the blessing, before and after. Two, by eating our food in a state of kedusha, holiness. Food is like all mundane objects. Everything in this world is really a mundane object until you elevate it to something kodesh. Sefer Torah is made from ink and parchment and skin, hide. So it's really very, what's ink? It's nothing kadosh, it's just ink. Then you take a Yerush HaMayim, who a Sofer Stam, who writes with the proper kavana, and all of a sudden the ink is elevated. Everything in this world is really mundane until we elevate it to a mitzvah. Esrog is mundane until you elevate it to do a mitzvah. By eating our food in a state of kedusha and holiness, because food is like all mundane objects, but if we access the spark of holiness through eating, we can elevate our actions with proper kavana intent. We can accomplish this by eating our food with the intent of what? What should we think? Nourishing our bodies. So we can serve Hashem and not merely to satisfy our lust for pleasure and gratification. So I had a medical appointment Monday, and I think to myself, when I have a medical appointment, a doctor appointment, I always think to myself, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of nishmartem od nafsho secham. I really have that kavana, and then you turn it into a mitzvah, not just physically taking care of yourself, but making your actions more kadosh. So he says that's what we should be doing with food as well. We shouldn't just be eating to satisfy lust for pleasure or for physical gratification. If you eat a luscious piece of chocolate, or if you like steak, or whatever your weakness is, more often than not, we're eating that food because of our lust for pleasure and gratification, which is exactly why Isha ate the first fruit. It describes her intoxication with the tree. She sees it. She thinks about it. She touches it. She has a lust for gratification from the tree. Actually, the word that's used is and last week's parasha says the dibros lo tachmod. She has like a desire. So we can overcome that most based instinct by thinking kadosh thoughts. I'm eating because just like a car can't go without gas, it will just die. A person can't go without food. So if I eat for the sake of the shem shamayim, then I turn the eating, which is the most physical act, into a mitzvah. By eating fruits of Eretz Yisrael, third nakuda, we purify our bodies. As the Bach states, the fruits of the land derive holiness from the Shechina that dwells in the land. The fruits of Eretz Yisrael have an added degree of Kedusha because they derive inherent Kedusha from the Shechina that dwells in the land. The Pasuk tells us, Beferush, in Devarim Perek Yod Aleph, Pasuk Yod Beis, Eretz Asher Hashem Elkecha Doresh Osa, Tamir Eine Hashem Elkecha Bamei Reshis Hashana Vad Achushana. There is no other land like Eretz Yisrael. God seeks out, he desires the land. His eyes are upon the land from the beginning of the year to the year's end. So the fruits of Eretz Yisrael are imbued with an added degree of Kedusha because of the Shechina that dwells in the land. I think I told you last year when we were there for Pesach, last year was Shemitah, and a friend in Eretz Yisrael, Miriam Wasserman, her husband Rabbi Ari Wasserman, Abba Mechaber Svara, Magid Shir. So, you know her?
Ari Wasserman and the Mechaber of this article were my father's
Talmidim. Where your father's?
Talmidim.
Oh, that's so funny. So here I'm quoting from this article, and then I bring up Rabbi Ari Wasserman, and you send me this article. Very, very
tomorrow
nice.
Tomorrow night you're doing in memory of my father.
Say it again.
And tomorrow night the dedication I asked you to do is in memory of my father.
Very nice. Okay, that's the Shem of the Kfirat. Rabbi Ari Wasserman and his wife Miriam Wasserman have a beautiful garden. And when we went for Pesach last year, they have kumquats. And kumquats in the Shemitah year are Kedusha Shvis. So we had the big schus of going to their garden and having the Kedusha Shvis. We made an eitzba, but we were told, you have to be very careful, it can't rot. Can't take it outside of Eretz Yisrael. You can't give Kedushas Shvi to a non-Jew. You can't give it to an animal. You know, sometimes like you care of the not that I went with any pets. I'm saying there's many, many halachas in regard to Kedushas Shvi's. But you also have to eat the whole thing. You can't waste it. So we are a little apprehensive. I don't want to use the word nervous because we were told it's very sour. But I wanted the schus of eating it. First of all, it's fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Second of all, Kedushas Shvi's. So you wanted to eat the Kedusha. And interestingly, they said they don't eat from it because it's very sour fruits. And the whole tree was blossoming. I could show you beautiful pictures. The whole tree was blossoming with these gorgeous kumquats. So we went, we made the Bracha Ha'ilanos. We saw their Esrogim tree. So I said, I'm going to eat it because even though they said it's very sour, so we made the ha'etz. And in other words, you can't like take a bite and say, ooh, I don't like it, and then throw it, and then waste it, throw it in the garbage. You're not allowed to do that. It was actually delicious. They were delicious. They were inside. And then after we tasted them, Miriam said, oh, I'm tasting it also. And then she had. And I took some from my kids who weren't with me. Some of the other kids went to take cousins' children to the park. It was our Pesach to do a chesed. It was an amazing experience. And you're imbuing Kedusha. According to some opinions, it's a mitzvah to eat Kedusha Shvi's. According to others, it's, I think, the Ramban. Well, it's a mitzvah to eat Kedusha Shvi's. Others, it's not a mitzvah, but it's still a davar shebe Kedusha. If you can have access to Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the... Bach states that the fruits of the land derive holiness from the Shekhinah dwells on land. It's a particularly beautiful schus that we don't often have. So another example of how eating is for kedusha and for mitzvah, as opposed to serving the purpose of the Yetzer Hara. Remember, I told you of David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He would be makpid to drink wines from Chutz La'aretz. So when they asked him why, he said, I'll tell you the truth, if I drink the wine from Eretz Yisrael, it's not to my liking. It's going to make me have a negative thought about Eretz Yisrael. And I might speak negatively about Eretz Yisrael, so I'd rather avoid the whole thing in the first place. So it was makbid to, some people are makbid to only drink wine from Eretz Yisrael. But then what happens if you don't like it? Then you think to yourself negative about Eretz Yisrael. Then you might come to say, I don't like the wine, which is Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, so you wouldn't drink the wine from Eretz Yisrael, only Chutz La'aretz, so I could avoid the problem in the first place. So you see that there is a tremendous kedusha in eating, especially with the peiros of Eretz Yisrael. That is why the blessing of Alamicha is only recited after eating one of the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, because there's an added kedusha. Like we say, Ve'achol mepiria v'lispo metuva, we shall eat from its fruits and be satisfied with its goodness. When we eat fruits of the land of Israel, we receive nourishment directly from the Shekhinah. When we eat fruits of Eretz Yisrael, we receive nourishment directly from the Shekhinah, whose eyes are on the land from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. When Adam and Chava sinned by eating from the tree of knowledge, the Nachash, the serpent, inserted desire and lust into the experience of eating. So if you ever want to know why, if you see a luscious piece of chocolate cake, like Kenny Machla speaks about, it's like a Shabbos morning, there was a luscious piece of cake, and I said, Hashem, help me not eat it. But then I gave in, I caved, I ate the piece of cake. I know it's not good for me, but I ate it. Where does that tremendous desire and lust for eating come from? The Nachash, who enticed Isha, who had a tremendous lust, she had chemda. The Aseres HaDibros is a tikkun, lo sachmo, do not have that desire. Look what sin, chemda, brought to the world. I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael, which is an Eretz chemda. That's a positive kind of chemda. This is a lo tachmo, a negative type of desire. When they first ate from the tree of knowledge, the Nachash inserted desire and lust into the experience of eating. And so, on Tu B'Shvat, we work to fix the sin of Adam and Chava. It's our mission to learn to control our desires for food. So we really bring this topic full circle, but that's really what the Mechaber is speaking about. Learning to control your desires for food teaches you about controlling any kind of base desire and subjugating yourself to Hashem. This Tu B'Shvat may we overcome our desires and imbue the seemingly mundane of eating with holiness. So I thought that this was tremendous. I've never seen it before, that when Tu B'Shvat came along, Adam realized that the world would be replenished and things were blossoming again. And he understood that continuing to eat foods that are permitted, v'ochal, not v'ochalti, I am eating, is a tikkun for the first sin. And every time someone eats with the proper intent, with the proper mitzvos related to the food you're eating, and especially if you're eating fruits of Eretz Yisrael, you're being misak in the first sin and overcoming the negative lust and desire that is injected into our desire for food. So one of the things that Rav Levi Mitzchak Miberdichev teaches, which reminded me of a pasuk in this week's parsha. Okay, so now we finish this article. This article is from Rabbi Dr. Ernest H. Agatstein.
Agatstein.
He's co-president. I didn't quote who I'm quoting from. I should have quoted. I can quote. It's not too late. This article was from Rabbi Dr. Ernest Agatstein. Yeah. He is the co-president of Mizrahi Religious Zionist of America. Okay. B'shem Omro. So he quotes in this article, Rabbi Levi Mitzchak Miberdichev. I said it already. I'm going to repeat it. Because then I want to use that as the point of departure for a related topic in this week's parsha. Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev explains, when a Jew eats, he can fix this. I know I read it already. I'm going back to use it as a point of departure to go into parsha. When a Jew, one specific line in the parsha. When a Jew eats, he can fix the sin of Adam Rishon, who ate from the tree of knowledge, by doing mitzvos through eating, such as making a bracha before and after eating, by properly slaughtering an animal. So what did that remind me of? In Mishpatim? I can't hear.
I'm trying to remember. I thought that there... I don't know.
Okay, by properly slaughtering an animal, salting the meat, separating challah, truma, meiser, eating matzah, myriad other mitzvahs involved in the preparation and eating of food. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, it's a very lengthy sadra with many psukim, but many, many more rashis. Especially for someone like my son said to me, I think it was last year, said especially hard, maybe my son and my brother, because you don't learn Gemara, mommy. So there's a lot in the Zikin and Parshas Mishpatim. The Rashis are very, very difficult, especially if you don't have a background in Gemara. It needs a lot of Siyata Deshmai to get, we always need Siyata Deshmai to get to the Chumash with Rashi. Okay. The Pasuk says, in Shemos Mishpatim, Parachav Beis Pasuk Lamid, Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli, men of holiness who shall be to me. And you know what the second half of the pasuk is talking about? What do you think I'm going to say the second half of the pasuk is talking about?
Slaughtering meats.
What?
Slaughtering meats.
I don't know what you're saying.
Shechting, slaughtering meats.
Eating. Ubasar basada treifa lo sochevu. Anshei kodesh tiyunli. Men of holiness who shall be. So what shall come after men of holiness who shall be to me? Fast on Yom Kippur. Keep taras hamishpacha. Don't work on Shabbos. Kiddush HaChodesh, Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli, you should be men of holiness to me. And what's the proof if you're going to be men of holiness? I'm going to tell you what to eat and what not to eat. Ubasar basada treifa, torn meat in the field, lo sochelu, you shall not eat. Lakalav tashlichu noso. So what is treifa, first of all? When we talk about something that's treif, just so that we understand what it is. Today when we say something's treif, we use it to refer to not kosher. That's not accurate according to the Torah. Treifa is an otherwise kosher animal that was torn, mauled. Okay, so it could be a perfectly kosher cow, the lungs were kosher, didn't have any mum, but on the way to the Schachthaus, a wolf came out of the woods and tore apart the cow. It took a chunk out of its side, it left you the hind flank. Now, it was a perfectly kosher cow, but it was torn in the field. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat it. Not because the animal's not kosher. So when we use treif today to describe something not kosher, it's really not true. A pig is not treif. A pig is ma'achalos osur. So I'm just pointing out a technical detail in Lashon HaKodesh because we try and be very medactic in our understanding of Chumash. A pork is not treif because pork's not a kosher animal. Pork is ma'achalos asuros, forbidden food stuff. It never had the potential. Because I'll say, be most of a sheikh, it'll be kosher. It's a whole different story. So treifa is a sheep, a lamb, a cow, a calf, a goat, a bison, a kosher animal that was torn in the field. So now let's say there's some meat left. The carnivores, for some reason, ran away from the kill. There's some meat left, and it's good meat. Can you cut the back of the animal and make steak? It's a cow. It's not pig. It's not pork. No, the answer is no, because it wasn't shechted properly. Treifa is torn. What does Yaakov say when they bring home the ksonis pasim? Taraf taraf bini chaya ra achlesuhu. My son has been torn to shreds. A wild animal ate him. So treifa is torn meat, and we're not allowed to eat torn meat. So even if it would be kosher. So Anshe Kodesh Tiyunli, you shall be men of holiness for me. Ubasar Basada Treifa Lo Sochelu, you shall not eat this meat that was torn, it wasn't shechted properly. La Kalev Tashlichuno, so throw it to the dogs. So when I was reading this article, specifically the Chelek from Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, where he speaks about mitzvos that elevate eating to be misak in the first sin, reminded me of this pasuk. So I prepared, I never saw these, first of all, this whole article was new for me. Second of all, the Mefarshim I'm going to quote you are also new for me, because I was very intrigued and considered that this pasuk, the beginning and the end seems not to have anything to really do with each other. You should be holy. Like Mishpatim is so full of a myriad of mitzvos, that whatever, it's just throwing in the kitchen sink. Chas v'sham, I'm sorry. Just saying that the beginning and end of the pasuk don't seem to have anything to do with each other. But I was very compelled then to look up the Mefarshim, especially after reviewing this article, that it seems to be that there's an intrinsic connection actually between holiness and what we do eat and what we don't eat. So of course it's not random that the pasuk puts these two things together. Men of holiness you shall be to me, and torn meat in the field thou shalt not eat. So eating or not eating and kedusha are put together. So I'm going to quote some very interesting mefarshim regarding this idea. Okay. We'll start with Rashi. Okay, so Rashi says, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, man of holiness you shall be for me, im atem kedoshim, if you are holy, uprushim mishikutzei nevelos utrefos, and separate yourself from the abominations of carcasses and torn animals, hare atem shali, then you are to me, v'im lav, and if not, einchem shali, you are not to me. So Rashi says, how can you be holy? Im atem kedoshim, how can you be holy? Uprushim. It's very interesting. I just realized something now, even when I was preparing. And Parshas Kedoshim, Parak Yud Tes of Vayikra, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Rashi says there, Prushim Min Ha'arayos. You should separate from Arayos. You should separate from Arius. I like 99.9, but that means I could be wrong. And Kodoshim Tiyuki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So Rashi says there, it's fine, John, I'm looking online. I'm just doing it quickly online. So Rashi says there, Prushim Min Ha'arayos. Yeah, have you Prushim Min Ha'arayos, Umina Vera. So it's interesting that here Rashi uses the same term. Imatim kedoshim uprushim. So according to Rashi, to be kadosh is to separate. Both here, Anshe Kodesh Mishpatim, and in Vayikra Kedoshim, when the word kadosh is used, Rashi defines it as prushim, separation. In this case, it's separating from what? Foodstuff we're not allowed to eat. When you separate for something you shall not consume, you are becoming kadosh. Says Rashi, imatim kedoshim uprushim. If you are kadosh and separate from the abominations of carcasses and torn meat, then you belong to Ribbono Shel Olam v'im lav einchem shali. If not, you're not to me. The Ibn Ezra says, oh no, the Rashbam. The Rashbam says beferish. What does it mean to be anshe kodesh, says the Rashbam? Shelo la'achol davar tamei, kagon treifa. So what does it mean to be kadosh? Not to eat something impure like treifa. So you see clearly that kedusha is tied to how we eat, what we eat, when we eat. So to be kadosh is to eat properly. Okay, says the Ramban. No, says the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, "Ba'avur shehizkir sharcha vitzoncha," and the pasuk right before this. Yeah, the pasuk right before this, it mentions your shor and your tzon, your ox and your sheep. Shehei mutarim la'achila. The pasuk right before this tells you, mentions your domesticated animals, your ox and your sheep. They are mutar la'achila. You're allowed to eat them. He's here, al habasar shuhu nitraf. It comes here to warn you about treifa. In other words, why? What might happen? You might have a shor or tzon, kosher animals, and now they're torn. But since they're permitted, what might you think you're allowed to do? Eat them. So therefore, right after mentions Shorcha Vitzoncha, mentions he's here alabaser shuhu nitraf. It warns you about meat that is torn. Why? Ulai ha'aniyo chlene ba'avur aniyo. The Torah is afraid. Okay, so a rich person is going to say, I don't want to eat such meat. I want higher end meat. I don't want meat mauled by a wolf. Let the wolf eat it. But an ani might come along and say, wow, here's a kosher animal. A cow's kosher, totally kosher. I can't afford to go to the marketplace and buy an expensive cut of meat. Here's free meat in the field. I might eat it. So this is the Ibn Ezra that I'm quoting. So right after it mentions sharcha vitzonecha, which are mutarim la'achila, permitted to eat, he's here, it warns you, abasar shuhu nitraf, about torn flesh, because maybe the poor person will come along and I'll think, wow, I found a grace of mitzia. I finally have something to eat for dinner. Therefore, it warns you that you're not allowed to eat torn. Behizkir basada. Why does it mention basar basada trefalo sochelu? Maybe, well, if it was torn in the city, right? I don't know. Let's say it was torn in the middle of West Broadway, the corner of West Broadway and Washington Avenue. Are you allowed to eat it then? So no, the Hizkir Basada, it mentions the field, haho ve'yoser. That's where it's more common that meat will be torn. Because let's say the sheep are in the flocks in the field, and out of the forest comes a wolf and mauls the sheep. Generally, that's not going to happen in the middle of the city. If anybody remembers during the COVID major lockdowns, I don't know if anyone saw pictures, but in Eretz Yisrael, it was amazing. The cities were filling up with wild animals. It was so cool. Oh, it was not only in Israel? Okay, so I saw pictures of Israel, like wild boars. Animals were moving into the cities because the cities were basically neglect, bereft of people. So the animals were all of a sudden moving in. So haho ve'yoser, because it's more common that the meat will be torn in the field, that's why it says basada. V'kacha hadin b'nitraf gam b'socha'ir. But the Ibn Ezra says, of course, the law is that if it's trefa in the city, it's also, so for some reason, somebody's keeping a cow or a sheep on the high-rise apartment building in the middle of Manhattan, and a hawk comes down, I don't know, and kills the baby lamb that you were keeping. You can't eat it even in the middle of the city. Okay, so far we did Rashi, and we saw that Rashi's approach is that Kedoshim means Prushim, both here and in Kedoshim. If you are separated from the abominations of carcasses and torn meat, you are mine, and if not, you are not mine. Then we went to the Rashbam. Rashbam is a Pashtun. And the Rashbam says very simply, Anshe Kodesh Shalo Lechol Davar Tami Kegon Treifa. Just don't eat. If you want to be Kadosh, don't eat food that is impure, a matter that's impure, like torn meat. Then we went to the Ibn Ezra, and he contrasts the previous Pasuk, Pasuk Chavtes, to this Pasuk, Pasuk Lamed. The Torah necessitates to specifically tell you, cannot eat Basar Basada Treifa, because the previous talks about Sharcha and Soncha, your domesticated animals, your ox and your flocks. So since you could eat ox and flocks, I don't mean to rhyme, ox and fox, ox and sheep. Therefore, that's mutter. The Torah comes along and warns you because you don't want a poor person to pass by and out of poverty say, I can eat that. Then we answer why it says basada, because that's where more common for meat to be torn. Okay, but it is also the din in the middle of the city. Now we go to the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says as follows, V'anshe kodesh tiyun li, man of holiness who shall be to me, hayarau shayomer v'anashim kedoshim. It would make more sense that instead of saying Anshe Kodesh, the Torah speaks about Anashim. It should say Anashim Kedoshim. Be holy men. What's Anshe Kodesh? Avalakasuv Yirmos, but the Torah is alluding to the fact, Ki Knesses Israel Hanikres Kodesh, Knesses Israel, the assembly of Israel is called Kodesh, Hi Kochan Shel Israel. The Kedusha of Klal Yisrael is the Koach, Howard's strength. The strength of Klal Yisrael. Our Kedusha is our strength. V'nikras Kodesh, and Klal Yisrael, the assembly of Israel is called Kodesh. Shehi Moshechas min HaKodesh. We draw our strength. Moshechas l'mshoch. We draw our strength from Kedusha. Shehi HaChachma HaRemuza Be'os Yod B'Rosh Hashem Michal. It's a little Kabbalistic, but the Kedusha is the wisdom that is alluded to in the letter Yod, at the beginning of Hashem's name. How do you spell Hashem's name? Yod, then He, then Vav, then He. That Yod is the source from which we draw Kedusha. So my understanding of the Rabbeinu Bechaya is, therefore it says Anshe Kodesh, because it ends with a Yod. Yod is the first letter in Shem Hashem. Anshe, Aleph, Nun, Shin, Yod. Right after the letter Yod comes the word Kodesh. Because Rabbeinu Bechaya has explained that Kedusha draws from the Os Yod, the Yod that is at the beginning of Hashem's name. Yeah, are we good? Okay, so the Rabbeinu Bechaya says as follows, it is worthy that it should have said Anashim Kedoshim, but the Torah is alluding to the fact that the assembly of Israel, Knesset Israel, who are called Kodesh, that is the Kohan, the strength of Israel, And we are called Kodesh, Shehi Moshechas Mina Kodesh. We are called holy because it is drawn from the ultimate holiness, which is the wisdom that is alluded to in the letter Yod at the beginning of Hashem's designated name. So remember, his original question is, why does it say Anoshim Kedoshim? Anshe Kodesh, Enosh is a man, ends with a Yod. Yod signifies the Yod that's at the start of Hashem's name, from which all Kedush is drawn. So here we have the juxtaposition of the Yod to the word Kodesh. And Klal Yisrael is the Enosh, the assembly, that derives the Kedusha from the Yod of Shem Hashem. Where am I up to? The Al Kain Hosif Milas Li. And that's why it says Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. Why doesn't it just say Anshe Kodesh Tiyun? You should be holy men. And Torah and meat in the field, don't eat. What's, and men of holiness you shall be to me, Li. And therefore it adds the word Li to me, Ki Yisrael Mikudashim Lishmo. Because Israel is sanctified and designated to God's name. It's not just them that we're holy. We're holy because of the Kedusha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're holy because we derive Kedusha from that Yud. We're holy because there is a Ribbono Shel Olam and we are drawn to Him. V'kevan shekach ma'awasam gadol kol kach. And because the strength of their maila, their level, their aliyah. Oh gosh, I'm a bad translator. Not usually. No, I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes it's hard for me to give a good translation. The kevan shekoach ma'alasam gadol kolkach. Because the power, the strength of our aliyah, of our spiritual striving, our growth is so great. Ein laham la'achol basar b'treifa. It's not worthy that people of such great spiritual strivings, such a power, a source, a koach, a strength of always being aliyah, it's not worthy to eat torn meat. She'alaka mitzad ha'koach ha'mashchis. Because torn meat was stricken, was struck from the side of koach ha'mashchis, the destroyer. The mashchis, the destroyer, is the opposite of the koach ha'maila, the koach of constantly growing, the koach of life. So he gives a totally different reason why you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't eat it because basar basad the treifa represents the power of the destroyer. When it comes to such a holy nation that is always rising up, you shouldn't eat something that comes from the power of the destroyer. What about sada? So according to the Ibn Ezra, it's very pashut. The Torah is telling you that usually torn meat happens in the field. But the Rebbeinu B'chai gives a totally different reason. His kibbasada, it's fascinating, it's beautiful. Why does it say, remember the kashas, it could just say, don't eat torn meat. Wherever the torn meat is, you're not allowed to eat it. In the city, in the suburbs, in the field, on a boat. If there's a wolf and a sheep on a boat and you're traveling on the boat, you can't eat it on the boat either. So just say, don't eat torn meat. That's basada. Kisham kochal shal esav harasha. Shahaya ish sada. Because in the field is the koach, the power, the strength of wicked Esav, because he is identified as an Ish Sada, Ish Yodeh Tzayit. That's what he's known as. So if you don't want to tap into the koach of wicked Esav, the Ish Sada. Vuhu kocho shal, where else do we see the Sada? It's also in Bereshis, to give you a big hint. What? I just didn't hear. Maybe you said it.
Is it when Yitzchak is davening?
What did she say?
Masuach basadeh.
What?
Masuach basadeh.
Well, then he went to daven. That's Yitzchak who went to daven in the field. Vayihi biyosem basadeh.
Were the 12 brothers out in the sada when they sold Yosef?
No.
Vayihi biyosem basadeh. Vayakam kayin. And the field is also the koach of Kayin, the head of the start, the head, Rosh HaMiratzachim, the father of all murderers. Shehiz kirbo kasev, that it says about them, and was when they were in the field. Gam hakilavim, it's also the power of dogs, minatzadohu, from this aspect. Vatrefer, voilahem, torn meat is worthwhile to throw to the dogs. We shouldn't be like dogs. And therefore it says, Akal Tashlichinosa. Rabbeinu B'chai is extremely beautiful. I mean, they're all beautiful. Anshe Kodesh, not Anashim Kadoshim, because you have a Yod and then the word Kadosh. Yod is Shem Hashem, which from which all the Kedusha derives. And therefore we derive our Kedusha from that Yod of Shem Hashem. Furthermore, we are a people who are always having Koach Aliyah, Koch ma'alasam. It's so great that it's not appropriate for us to eat basar basada treifa, because that's koch ha'mashchis, the power of the destroyer. And furthermore, why does it say sada? Because it's a koch of Esav, wicked Esav, who was an ish tzayid, ish sada, ish yodea tzayid, ish sada. He was a trapper, a hunter, a man of the field. And it's a koch of Kayin, who is the father of all murderers. It was when they were in the field, Cain got up and he killed him. And also that's where the dogs hang out. And we should not be hanging out in the field, so it's worth it to give it to the dogs. So once again, a whole brand new shir on eating. No, it's amazing. But look at the depth of Torah. It's like a vast ocean. It's a never-ending ocean. They're all different shirim. Every shir that we've done is different. I'm not repeating material. It's unbelievable. So who knows what I'm going to be saying that will become the impetus for shir last week. Anshe kodesh tiyin li ubasar badasada treifel oso chedu lakav tashlichun oso ha'isha asher nasna imadi hi nasna limin eitz ve'ochal. I am eating. Every time we eat with the right choices, with the right halachas, with the right mitzvahs, and with the proper kavanos, we are being misaking the sin of Adam Rishon. Rivka Krischer, thank you for the article. Thank you, Hashem, for Torah. Thank you for everyone who joined on Zoom and in person. Should be Aliyah Neshama from Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak. Allah, Hashem, Yoshua, Gavaldik, Week of Besoros Tovos. Thank you so much, everybody.